So the Lord says here, he is fed up with Israel and he is winding down with Israel. He was telling Malachi was the last prophet. He never sent a prophet after that to Israel. The next one was John the Baptist preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. But then he prophesies that in verse 11. Look at verse 11. I want to tell you something. Verse 11 is the verse that the Lord gave us when we started CFC 45 years ago. He took us to the book of Malachi and told us, this is what Christendom is offering. I want you to begin with a new offering. In August 1975, when CFC started in Bangalore, in my home, this is the verse he gave. The phrase here, an offering that is pure, in the last part of verse 11, a pure offering. And the Lord says, Israel, I've set you aside. Now, verse 11, from the rising of the sun to the setting all over the world, from east to west, this is what the Lord said, from east to west, my name will be great among all the nations, not just in Israel. And in every one of these countries, there's going to be an offering that is offered to me that is pure, like Abel's offering. And then my name will be great among the nations. This has been our calling, and this is what we have worked towards in all these years. And we continue to preach the same message today. The bride has made herself ready with her own righteous actions. The righteous actions are Abel's actions. Turn with me to Hebrews in chapter 11. Why is Abel called righteous? Listen. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, that means by a total commitment to God, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. He offered the best. Cain offered a cheap offering. There was a better sacrifice. And through that, he obtained a testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, even though Abel is dead, he is still speaking to us today as to how to be ready for the second coming of Christ. Abel's faith was one which believed that God must be first in my life. Like the first words of the Bible. You know the first words in the Bible? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. That's how it must be in my life. In everything in my life, in the beginning, God. Let that be the motto of your life. When you wake up in the morning, as soon as you wake up in your bed, before you get out of your bed, talk to the Lord. He's waiting to hear you. In the beginning, God. First thing in my life, God. In everything, in every decision I have to make, are you considering a job? Let me put God first. In everything in your life, when you're considering marriage, put God first. In everything in life, in the beginning, God. And like Abel, say, Lord, I want to give the best to you. We used to get sometimes letters from like this in India many years ago. Brother Zach, I've retired now from my government service and I've earned quite a bit of money. Now I want to give the remaining years of my life to do something for the Lord. I said, no, thank you. We don't want you. This is people who drunk the full cup of tea and they are giving the dregs, saying, God, I'd like to give you the rest of my life. I said, those are not the people we are looking for. We are looking for people who will give the best part of their life to God. Not to become full-time workers, but who for whom God is first right from the time they are 20 years old. Whatever they do, whichever job they may do, God is first in everything. They would rather lose a job than compromise their convictions. How many people there are who tell lies to get a visa? That visa means more to them than God. Where will such people be in the bride of Christ? Not in a million years. If they can tell a lie for such a small little thing like getting a visa to some country or tell a lie to get admission into some college with false certificates or false marks. Where can you say these are all people who, but yeah, they're also Christians. They want to give some offering to God. What type of offering? Corrupt third-rate offerings. God says, where are the priests who will shut the doors and say, we don't want this? Where are the preachers who will tell people, that's not what God wants from you? He's not going to accept it. Forget it. Yep. There are very few. And even some preachers who started out well, after a period of time, they cool off. They don't preach like they did in the early days because they want numbers. They want popularity. They want money. We've never been interested in any of those things. We want to prepare people for the second coming of Christ, just like John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been one of my great heroes because he said, prepare the way of the Lord. And I want to say to all of you, my brothers and sisters, these are days in which we are to be prepared for the second coming of Christ. And I want to tell you, when Christ comes again, there are going to be two types of believers. One who will shrink back, oh Lord, no, don't come, I'm not ready. And the others will say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Turn with me. We'll look in closing at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John 2, 28. He's writing to God's people. Listen, take it to yourself. Two types of people when the Lord comes. Which group will you be in? Little children, children of God, abide in Christ. Remain in Christ. Never compromise. Never seek for some earthly gain by compromising your convictions. Never give God second place. Let him have the best. Let him have the throne of your heart, the best of your life. So that when Christ appears, here are the two groups. One who has confidence when he comes. Yes, Lord, we're ready. We're waiting for you all these years. All our life we're waiting for you. And the others, another group, who shrinks away. These are believers who don't want to meet him. Who shrink away in shame because they're not ready. Can you believe that? There are believers who, when Christ comes, they say, oh, no, Lord, don't come yet. We're not ready. You know how Jesus said, when he comes, you shouldn't have to go down to the ground floor of your house to pick up something or to settle something. If you're out in the field, you shouldn't have to go back to apologize to your wife. No, you should be ready wherever you are. You're out in the field, out in the office, out on the rooftop. You're ready to go from there. Because all the time, you kept your conscience clear. I hope we're walking like that. That's the only way we'll be ready for the Lord's coming. So when we see things that are preparing for the day when one day one third of humanity will die of the plagues that are coming on the earth. Not yet. The people who are dying of the plagues today are not one third of humanity. It's still a huge number. There are thousands and thousands dying every day. But not yet one third of humanity. It'll come to that. I believe the Bible to be true. You say, where is God in all this? Well, it says in Revelation 9:20, the rest of humanity did not repent of their idolatry. They still kept on putting other things first in their life. God was not first in their life. So I see here that the plagues came because people didn't put God first in their life. That is the clear message of Revelation 9 verse 18 to 20. Read it sometime. One third of humanity was killed because they did not put God first in their life. But there must be a group of people called Christians, true Christians, who by their life manifest in their office, in their home, in their contacts with people that in my life, God is first. There is no compromise. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear brothers and sisters, please examine your heart. Don't worry about others. Don't think of your neighbor. Don't think of somebody else. Don't think about your wife or your husband. Think of yourself and are you ready for the second coming of Christ? Are you willing to pay any price? Say, Lord, I want you to be first in my life at any cost. I want to walk in righteousness. I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to abide in you every moment. I want to fight the battle against Satan, against my flesh, against the attractions of the world, to be true to you. In Jesus' name, Amen.